At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Welcome to the show today, the Author Brand Show. You're going to want to take notes, especially with our guest today. He's got some wisdom and experience that is very interesting stuff. He's actually the publisher. Publisher of the company, the name of the company is Allusion One, Allusion1.com. Check it out. We'll talk about what he's doing, which is not your traditional business type books. He does graphic novels, really cool stuff. He also has experience in the media, being a journalist in the media for over 5 years. So welcome to the show, my good friend, Tyler Connor. Tyler, how are you today?
Hey, Doug. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. Glad to have you on. So you have a wide range of stuff here, from publishing, graphic novels, and media. Where did you get your start?
Yeah, so initially when I got into the news publishing industry, mm-hmm. I was writing an article for this local newspaper. Like, I'm out in Southern California, so in one of the suburb cities, there was this local newspaper that had probably a publication of, I don't know, maybe 3,500 prints per month. And I wrote the front page article, and that kind of got me into the industry. And then probably about in 2019, I started to kind of put together this idea of wanting to actually produce, like, you know, news media. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, during the pandemic, which was a horrible time to launch anything, I launched this newspaper and this digital newspaper, and since then I've just grown my audience, and you know, I've primarily focused on kind of underreported news topics and a lot of financial stuff and some scientific and medical things that maybe aren't necessarily out there as much as you know, what you'd see on like mainstream media. It's not like anything controversial, but it's just things that are just kind of underreported. And then over the past year or so, I know a few people in the YouTube space, and I was just surprised to hear how many people in the YouTube space that have these audiences have these graphic novels or comic books or even books that they've written. And I started talking to this YouTube friend of mine that has a fairly large audience. And I talked to him about the idea of maybe starting a publishing company together. And basically since then, I finished this one graphic novel. It's really not even a graphic novel. It's more like a comic strip. And I just released it. And so I'm kind of getting more into the creative content publishing space in addition to the news media space.
That is a wide range there, my friend. You've got news and comic strips. So have you always been involved in the comics as like for fun as a young man, and then you did it for a business, or is that new?
No, I mean, that's fairly new. I actually, I think it was because of grad school. I never really read much for fun because I read so much. Like I read, you know, just so many news articles a day, access so many news articles a day that it, you know, it kind of becomes cumbersome somewhat to, you know, all right, let me pick up a book and let me spend time on this too. Sometimes I just want to rest my eyes. But I've always kind of had a little bit of a creative bend to myself. But the part of the problem with that is that I actually have no artistic talent. Like I have ideas, but I can't draw at all. I can't graphic design anything. I'm very limited in that space. So I have to kind of be dependent upon other people. So I've, you know, I found illustrators and artists and things like that to work with me. But it is kind of a departure. And I feel like, you know, in the news media space, I mean, even if you're publishing something that's underreported, you know, like for example, today there was something about how the feds are thinking about potentially cutting interest rates
next year.
And even something like that, it's, you know, that's not really, it's not a blood and gore type of a story, but on the same token, it's not, you know, there's only so much you could take of that where it's so, I don't know, I wouldn't say dehumanizing, but it's just so creatively like bankrupt in so many ways. And then, you know, you read the other stuff about how, you know, there's this war going on, that war going on, this thing happened in Africa. And I mean, I'm very much interested in those topics, but you know, I feel like at least working on something creative, like this story that I worked on, it's kind of more of an outlet to get things out there than, you know, just, well, yeah, here's, you know, here's another article about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your outlet for some positivity, not just creativity, but something you can, it's not so depressing perhaps because the news is pretty depressing, right?
Oh yeah. There's nothing in the news that's really pleasant. Everything will kill you. Everything is killing you and everything's falling apart.
That's right. That's the bleeds it leads. We know why that is, right? People just gravitate toward that stuff. And so we got to appeal to the, you know, lower base desires, I suppose. So back to the graphic novel or the cartoon, also I'll call it a cartoon. You create the stories, but you hire illustrators to do the cartoon part, right? The art, the drawing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I came up with, the main concept. It's called Dugas and Allen. I created the concept and essentially what the characters would be doing and how they would look. Mm-hmm. But I actually got connected to an illustrator who's really good. He's from Brazil. Uh-huh. He was the one that actually brought these characters to life. And, he created a lot of the situational things that happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some ways, I like it not all just being on one person, because I feel like oftentimes in that space, at least from what I've learned and when I've spoken to people, mm-hmm. it's kind of incumbent upon one person to do kind of like everything, or at least in terms of creating the story, creating the script, and then also doing the designs. And just from what I've experienced or just talking to other people and just learning more about the industry, sometimes that could be difficult to be able to execute all three really well. I mean, there's obviously people that can do all three very well, but you know, I've seen some very good art and I've spoken to a number of illustrators in the graphic space and comic book space, and they have some great art, but oftentimes kind of what they're actually like the subject matter or when it comes to creativity standpoint or with originality, sometimes it could be very limited because, you know, they have these visions in mind, but sometimes like working with new stuff can sometimes be, for some of them can be somewhat like, you know, challenging. For example, even the artist that I was working with before he started doing the illustration for this story, Dugas and Allen, he was doing a lot of like parody things. Like he did a parody. It was kind of like a cat parody of the Matrix. So it was like a guy that kind of looked like Neo, but he was like a fat cat kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I mean, for me, I kind of have, you know, these ideas you know, narrative ideas, but you know, it's just trying to find the right person. Then there's just a long process of just going back and forth and thinking about it. I mean, I'd be interested to learn more about like when it actually comes to like the novel space that, you know, who helps people organize their ideas for an actual novel.
Yeah, it's you know, plot lines and character development is I don't know how people can hold it all in their head. You know, rewatching Game of Thrones recently, I'm like, how many different characters are coming and going, and these plot lines. How can they have it all in their head from like, you know, 5 or 10 years of stuff going on? But they do. I've got one other writer friend of mine who wrote science fiction series, and this guy is a physicist. He created his own language for this,
this
science fiction world. So it's pretty extensive. So tell me more about the characters in your I'm sorry, it's not calling it a graphic novel. You're calling it a cartoon strip, a cartoon book. Is it a comic book? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, so it's in a book format right now. I mean, it's basically, this first book is a combination of, I'm calling them like longer episodes. Okay. So there's two longer episodes that have more of a narrative. And then the rest of the pages in it are just a collection of basically comic strips. Okay. That are, you know, like one-off, self-contained, different like situational things that are happening. Yeah. But these two characters with Dugas and Allen in the story in general, it has the look of a 1920s, 30s animation look, like the Fleischer Bros and early Walt Disney stuff.
Sure.
And basically with the two of them, the character Dugas is kind of more of it's kind of like a troublemaker somewhat. He's not a bad person per se, but he kind of is that, like maybe like early Bart Simpson kind of vibe to him, where he's just kind of like a stinker doing things. Mm-hmm. But in every installment, there's basically his plan fails or something goes awry. Mm-hmm. And basically his best friend, Alan, who's like the co-lead of the story, mm-hmm. he's kind of more of a neurotic kind of worry wart kind of person that's always yeah. trying to like reel in the friend Dukas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like in these various installments too, there's a lot of like surrealism going on. Mm. These two characters, even their designs, they kind of have that old look of, they have like body types that are very similar to like a Mickey Mouse, where it's okay. kind of this black form with some shorts and shoes.
Four fingers.
Yeah, exactly. And the character of Dukas, he basically has like a two cherries as a head, and Alan has like a Greek column for a head. And mm-hmm. yeah, they're just kind of always getting into some kind of shenanigan and something. Okay.
These aren't cats in Matrix. These are human beings.
I mean, they're humanoids. They're definitely humanoids, but in this story, it's very surrealist. So there's a lot okay. of, you know, there's dogs that are the size of people, but there's also people in it, but there's ghosts, and there's,
okay.
there's one character that just has a donut head, but that same kind of body. Like it's, yeah. it's a very non-serious type story. You know, it's right. just meant for, you know.
Okay. And just to get it clear on what it is, like, so I know in a graphic novel, it's, you know, it's a longer story. And a comic book is generally a short form. You called it a long form. Is it like mostly cartoons and a little bit of like bubbles of talking, or is it actual prose in a manuscript? How's it look in the book?
But there's not really prose. And I mean, there is like speech bubbles above when they talk,
right. okay.
but there's not a lot of like exposition, like exactly what you're talking about,
right,
where
right, right.
I mean, with Illusion One, there's other stories that we mm-hmm. have in the works that are mm-hmm. going to be more narrative driven. Okay. This one is more, I would say it's more equivalent to something like a Garfield or something Got like it. That, where it's just kind of, you know, because even like with Garfield, you know, there's shorter little strips where it's, you know, it's three little panels, and Garfield, mm-hmm. you know, is whatever, he's stealing a plate of lasagna from the neighbor right. or something like that. But mm-hmm. then there's also the longer narratives where, you know, they go trick or treating, and that's, you know,
yeah,
a 30 page kind of like a short story kind of a thing.
Okay.
So with Dukas Now, it's kind of the same thing, where I have these two episodes. The first one, I think, is 11 pages, and the second one's like 17 pages.
Okay.
And then all the rest of it is just these, yeah, one, like one off one page strips.
Okay. So it is like a comic book size then. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's 50 pages in total, so it's not like a huge book. Yeah. But sure. even for the 50, it took quite a bit longer than I think people might think.
Okay. All right. So it's you know, you did this for you know, to pressure relief valve from the news media cycle. That makes sense to me. What else was driving you besides that? You could have picked up tennis, but you decided to do this. You know, comic thing. So what else is about you that said, this is where I want to go, I want to create these stories and hire a designer and whatnot?
I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I've kind of had a creative mm-hmm. side of my brain for a yeah. while.
Okay.
And then I think it basically just came to fruition where, with, you know, with my news media, you know, in any given week, I can have, you know, like 150,000 people can access my stuff. In yeah. any given week, especially on the digital side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of occurred to me. Yeah, it was about 2 years ago, almost exactly.
Yeah.
I published a newspaper, and I just had this thought. I'm like, you know, a lot of newspapers, they have these little comic strips.
Yeah.
And why don't I make my own? So that was kind of the genesis of the idea 2 years ago when I started doing that. And then yeah. a year ago when I was talking to that YouTube friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
It just really kind of dawned on me. I'm like, oh, there really are a lot of people out there that have audiences
yeah.
and they have like fandom, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
but they might not know the whole publishing aspect of things or the whole business aspect of things. And obviously I'm learning the creative, you know, publishing aspect mm-hmm. of it, but mm-hmm. at least when it comes to printing traditional media, like a newspaper, I mean, it kind of takes a while to learn that industry. Like you have to, you got to meet a guy who knows a guy. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny out here. I'm not sure what it's like nationwide, but at least yeah. out in LA, all these guys are just, they're all old timers. They're all at least like 60 something years old. They've
right,
been doing
right.
it for 50 years almost. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just getting connected to them. And it's, so I figured, you know, hey, like obviously creative publishing is different
yeah.
than news media publishing. But I figured that there was things I can incorporate and, You know, I mean, I hope it's a success. I mean, like I said, the book just launched. So, I mean,
right.
I'm hopeful. And like I said, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I have titles lined up for next year.
Nice.
And then going to 2025, hopefully I can actually start working with these different YouTubers while also publishing my own stuff as well. And
very cool.
Yeah, hopefully it can actually be something.
Yeah. So you have other stories in works. What are the stories you have coming up that could tease the audience here?
Yeah. So I have a story working on right now. It's actually going to be more of an actual book. It's not a comic book. It's called They Came from Planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the gist of the story is there's a president in a country, kind of like a second world country, like maybe in Northern Asia or I guess like Western Asia, well, like a Turkmenistan, something like that.
Got it.
I'm right. Basically a president of a country like that. He's massively down in the polls for his reelection.
Yeah.
So as kind of a Hail Mary, he fakes this alien encounter to basically get everyone's mind off of what's going on in his country and onto this alien invasion thing.
I thought you said you don't like talking about the news in your comic stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the story like this. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could see something. I mean, at this point now, no news story would shock me. So if something with aliens happened with a world leader, I wouldn't be shocked. But I've been working on that. And I think that's, it's supposed to be kind of I'm not sure how much I like the term dramedy, but it's going to be kind of a dramedy. And this, it's going to be like political satire in it as well. But so that's one thing I work on. And then there's another graphic novel I'm working on called Dreams of Idle Beauty, which... Mm-hmm. is basically, it's kind of like a noir type story that involves, it's kind of like a noir story. It's kind of also like an episode of the Twilight Zone.
Mm.
And it's basically about this girl who moves to LA, who essentially sells part of her emotions to have this operation that'll make her more beautiful. Wow. And then the rest of the story revolves around like the investigation of that story or the investigation of the disappearance of this girl. Cause after she has all these operations, she ends up disappearing. And so for that story, with both of them, I mean, I'm still actively writing them, but hopefully they'll both be out. I'm thinking probably late summer, maybe like fall. I definitely want They Came from Planet Earth to come out before the election.
That'll help. Be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's such a political story, but.
Right.
Very cool. That's some of the stuff I'm working on. And
I love it. That's great. So your website is illusion1.com. That's illusion with an A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N-O-N-E.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
But check it out to get you already have some books there, right? The first one you mentioned.
The first book is there and it's available for purchase.
Okay, great. Right. And that is, do you put those on Amazon as well? Or you just focus on your own publishing for those?
No, I'm also going to put on Amazon. I've actually today, before we started talking, just jumping through all the hoops of getting on Amazon. I can't believe the amount of information Amazon wants from you to sell on their website. It's, they're one step away from asking for a blood sample. And
They got to be able to, send those checks somewhere. They got to validate, make sure you're a real person. You got a bank account and all that, it's.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean, I did the facial recognition thing with them today or whatever. When you have to like show your face and I was surprised by that. But yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll be on Amazon
that.
And
I haven't seen that one yet. That's new for me.
Facial the last one. Yeah, well, they want you to like verify your identity with your license, so you either have to call in.
That might be a new thing with the AI because a lot of people are trying to publish these AI generated books. And they're like, they're.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I was reading some, like Reddit threads about that and, everyone seems to hate it. I mean, you already have to show your license anyways, but with this, it seems to me like that's part of the cost. If you want to do things online and make money online, then there has to be one of the sacrifices is a little bit of privacy, I suppose.
They know everything already anyway. I kind of gave up. I tried to use a different browser a couple years ago, after the Google thing. And I tried to go, they got everything already. So,
even that other browser that was popular for a while, that DuckDuckGo, out they were feeding all the same information anyway.
Oh, yeah. So. I had this one company, and I can name them. It was Unroll.me. where it would unsubscribe you from all the things that we forgot to subscribe to, and your email gets filled up. You go to the site and you can click on these buttons, and it unsubscribes you in mass from all the crap that you signed up for. I'm like, oh, this is great. So I did that a few years ago, and then the same thing, they got busted for selling the data. So like, I'm trying to unsubscribe you, and they're selling my data again. I'm like, oh, you guys, just give it a rest.
No, you can't. Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you know, once you're already on all those sites where it's your name and your phone and all that stuff, it's...
Until you get a homestead in the woods, you're going to have to just, you know, get in the system, I guess. I don't know. There's no way around it, I don't think, anymore. So
you also have to be born off the grid too. Not only do you have to get off the grid, you have to be born off the grid.
Yeah. Or change my name and my, you know, my identity, right? That would be one idea, I suppose. Well, great. So what else do you want to talk about? Anything else you want to promote besides your book?
I mean, that was kind of the main thing. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that, yeah, I mean, if you're working with other authors or anything like that that are looking for a place to promote their books, I do have this digital newspaper. It goes out to an audience of 400,000 email addresses.
Wow, that's great.
A week.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested in that, you know, they can reach out to me, or they can reach out to you, and then you can have
them. How do they reach out to you, Tyler? What's the email or something to put in there, or what?
Yeah. I can send it to you, or people can just contact ucasnews@gmail.com or like the letter U, ucastnews.com.
ucastnews@gmail.com.
ucastnews@gmail, or they can send it news@ucastnews.com. Either way.
Got it. Okay, great. Well, that's very nice. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in that. So that's a pretty good size circulation.
It does seem hard. I mean, I can't envision somebody that, unless they have some kind of connections or something like that in the publishing space, like if you're a person that just has a normal amount of Facebook friends and things like that, a normal network where you have a normal job and you have 300 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I have to envision it's very difficult to actually have anything of, like, I mean, to get your word out there.
You know, it's funny. You take a look at, like, you know, in the old days, it was like, wow, I'm on TV, and there's three channels, right? And then cable came out. Now there's, you know, 1,000 channels. So it's like, okay, anywhere. It dilutes the power of the medium, right? So the same thing is true for, like, used to be like, oh, I have a blog. You're like a journalist. Now it's like there's a blog for every 7 people on the planet. So same thing on social media, right? There's I think there's 3 million Facebook profiles. It's anybody can be a journalist. Anybody can be an author. And your job is to focus on a target audience and bring them into that. So you can't just broadcast it to the world because it's expensive and painful.
Yeah. Well, and I have to envision, especially when you're talking about the cost and when people come to you and they talk to you, and when you even interview them or even just privately, I have to imagine that's such a huge thing people experience is they've created a book and they've maybe spent a ton of time on it. And they've even if it's a really good book, yeah, I mean, the problem is, okay, you know, if, you know, you have a normal office job and then, you know, you've got the 200 friends on Facebook or whatever, how do you get it to beyond that? Because even if you go to other places to advertise, and sometimes in advertising, it's a little bit of a misnomer that I think some people think, oh, well, I advertise and I'll automatically get, you know, purchases from it. And it's really not. I think, like you mentioned earlier, there's such inundation of advertisements out there that it's really hard to actually be noticed. And the average person, they're not going to see a thing for the first time and then buy it. Like
the key thing I've learned in marketing lately, and we've all know this, what I'm going to say sounds so obvious and trite, but I'm going to back it up with some data to make it have more value. I was at a podcast movement. It's the largest convention for podcasters out there. There's 2 million at that time, 2 or 3 years ago, 2 million different podcasts out there. Same thing. So I'll be at a podcast like this one. You know, I'm lost in 2 million different podcasts.
Yeah.
But there's a data scientist there at the convention talking about how he's analyzed like the top 1,000 podcasts. He's got some general data from all 2 million. He's got a lot of data on who's growing, who's not, and why. And he had a really big buildup, like 5 minutes of building up to this thing he's going to say, because I've got the secret, guys. I can tell you exactly, without question, what the one key thing is to make your podcast, your book, your business just take off. And it's irrefutable. This one trick. You want to know what it is?
Money or being well connected?
Nope. Nope. Okay. Not true. Joe Rogan's never advertised his podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I meant like having a lot of money so people can like open
he
doors.
He got that app. Yeah, but still, he didn't use the money to advertise. He just wealthy guy. It was creating good content.
Oh yeah.
And if you think about it, it's like, well, yeah, viral shares. People share things they like. Sure, movies advertise a movie, but most people go to a movie based on a recommendation from a friend or a family member. And the same thing is true for books. I remember when Gary Vaynerchuk's second book came out. Cool cover, jab, 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 right hook. Nice cover. But I'd read his first book. Wasn't interested in seeing the second one. I'm like, eh, don't really care. But somebody else did a SlideShare presentation on it. And in that presentation, it got me interested. And I bought his book. So think about that. This is like a very famous guy. I've already a client. I bought his first book, had no interest in the second one, knew his name, right? And still wasn't going to buy that second book till someone else gave me a reason to. So it was a viral share. It was a SlideShare deck. There was no money exchange. It was just it was an idea. So in terms of getting things moving out there, it's good content. And you know, if there was a magical formula for making things go viral, it wouldn't work anymore because everyone would do it and everything can be viral. But the premise of creating good, shareable, interesting content is the key. And then, of course, yeah, longevity. You got to keep at it because nobody notices the first year or 10 years or, you know, gosh, Moby Dick didn't get popular until after Herman Melville died. So.
Oh geez.
Sorry, it's just the truth.
Yeah, no. That's
anyway, great, but yeah, great having you on today. I really look forward to reading your. I'm gonna call it a comic book, but I love the two new ones coming out. Those are really cool topics. I like that Twilight Zone one. That's a really cool idea.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I'll send you a copy of this book too, like for free. I'll send you the link to that and everything.
Great. So there we go. Tyler Connor, folks, from Illusion One. Check out his book. And check out his newspaper if you want to advertise. Great place to do that. 400,000 subscribers?
Yeah, 400,000 email subscribers. And then I also have this physical print newspaper.
Wow.
A component of it too. So like, yeah, I mean, that's all like in Southern California area. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you're selling a book or something like that, I guess it doesn't really matter if someone's in Detroit or, you know, Calabasas or whatever.
Right. Very good. All right, great. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Doug. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, you got it. And that concludes another episode of the Author Your Brand Show. I'm your host, Doug Crow. And don't forget, if you didn't take notes, just click below, they're right below here, your show notes and anything else you need to make your life better. Have a good one.